Thank you for coming this morning. My name's Steve McEnroy. I'm one of the pastors here. Go ahead and have a seat, and we'll get started in our message this morning from Galatians. So I've been looking forward to this. We've had a 10-part series through this really tremendous book of Galatians written by the Apostle Paul. I'm so thankful at all of our locations. I've been hearing good reports, and I've listened to a number of the messages. All of our pastors and some of our deacons have been able to be involved in putting together messages that have been just tremendous. Galatians is one of my favorite letters from the Apostle Paul, and I think especially for where we live here in Utah, it's profound. It's from the Lord. We believe at this church that the Bible is God's word, so we follow God's word and are directed by it. So we're thankful for it. So today we're going to continue on, and it's a privilege to study the Bible together. I think the overall arching theme we have to remember, the Apostle Paul, Galatians is called the letter of grace. The Apostle Paul is really, one of his titles was the minister of grace. So that's kind of the theme, the overarching theme of Galatians. And I think maybe what strikes me every time I kind of read through Galatians is this verse that comes out loud and clear. It says, it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that man is justified. That's the message that Paul brings through the letter of Galatians. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that man is justified. And it's by faith alone that we live out our faith, our new life, this freedom in the Spirit. That's what we're walking in faith now, to live out freedom of the Spirit. So again, today is part 10. We're looking at the final chapter, chapter 6, and I've titled it Final Instructions. As Paul does, this is kind of his parting instructions as he finishes up this letter that he's writing, to the important letter to these churches in Galatia, in the region of Galatia. And it's just as applicable to us as it was to them now. But there is a time when you come, instructions are hard, aren't they? It seems like this time of year, we'll buy a gift or something. I can remember for years and years when my kids were littler, on Christmas Eve, I'd be up at midnight putting together, we'd give gifts, and it'd say, some assembly acquired. And I was the assembly man. I don't know if you guys ever been up late at night trying to look at instructions, building playhouses or racetracks or whatever it might be. Oftentimes, I make the mistake of throwing the instructions out because I get so excited, and then I build it, and then there's all these extra parts, and sometimes I have to take it apart and put it together right. Or instructions as in parents, certainly, you know, these young parents that we see with these babies, they're throughout life, they're going to be given instructions. They're going to say, go, you know, use, do this, use, do that, be careful, I want to teach you to do this. And we try to be careful to teach our children, you know, don't run out in the street, don't do this, don't run with the scissors, you'll poke your eye out, all these different things, you know. And I'm a father myself and a pastor, and oftentimes I'm given instructions. I'm given the role of, you know, boy, I need to communicate clearly so these people will understand this is what we're doing. Even if it's a meeting, I wanted to be sure that everyone knew about the ugly sweaters for the Tuesday night party, because I just want it to be so much. But, all of us have probably been involved in giving some instructions at a certain time. Maybe you were leaving your house in the responsibility of somebody else, or maybe one of your pets was going to stay with somebody else, or your children, and you just wanted these certain instructions. Just remember for sure to do this. Don't forget to do this. I remember going on vacation when we finally realized that we could go on vacation without our children, and we left them at home. It's just like, oh my goodness, the people that were watching them, said, make sure you do this. Make sure that the house is locked. Make sure that and that. Just instructions. Instructions are so important. And if you can imagine, the Apostle Paul only had so much time. He only had certain opportunities for communication. And here are his final instructions, kind of really wrapping up and putting a bow on this letter that he's written with profound truths. These are life-changing truths throughout Galatians. The things that we've talked about and the truth that we've read from God's Word, it's life-changing. And so Paul has just some real practical things at the end here that you and I get to look at. So I'm going to pray one more time and ask God to help us. So pray with me if you would. Lord, I love you. I thank you for yet another opportunity to read your word. Lord, we want to hear from you and no one else. We don't want to hear from man. We want to hear from you. So Lord, I pray you would capture each one of us. You'd capture our attention. So just the thing that you had for me this morning and for my brothers and sisters, for people here today, Lord, I pray that we would not miss a thing that you have for us. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So this is 3 points from Galatians 6, 1 through 18. This is the section of scripture we're going to look at. This is the final chapter of Galatians. So we'll start with chapter 6, verse 1. And there's a handout in the bulletin. You can follow along if you like. But basically, we're going to read God's word and glean what God has for it. It's just chock full. This first verse, there's just so much in here. We'll just be skimming the surface, but there's just so much. It says, brothers. So there, he's talking to believers. When Paul refers to brothers, he talks to the believers, those who have become Christians. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So there's a lot in this first one. He said, those of you who are spiritual. So what does Paul mean by that? It's really what he's saying. Those of you, remember, he's talked about walking in the Spirit. Remember, we talked about the works of the flesh and walking in the Spirit. We've talked about that in previous chapters. And so when Paul talks about those of you who are in step with the Spirit, that's what he's talking about. Those of you who are spiritual, those who are believers, who are following the Lord to the best of your ability, God saved you and you're walking in faith. That's who he's talking about. Now, he goes on to say that any of those you caught in any transgression. Actually, in the Greek, if you drill down on this a little bit, he's talking about, they use the word overtaken. So any of you who are overtaken or the overtaken ones need to be restored. The overtaken ones need to be restored. When we drill down that, that's what it means. Any of you caught in a transgression, those of you who are spiritual believers should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. And so we have the just a distinct privilege of helping people. Oftentimes, you know, people think of Christians, oh, you're just so you're hypocritical. You tell me not to do something, yet I see you doing it. Really, what Paul is telling here, that we all have weaknesses. We all have these tendencies to stumble. It's just a reality. There's none of us that are complete. God's at work. His grace, by grace he saves us, and by grace he sanctifies us, and he's at work in our lives. So I like to say that those that are overtaken, that those who might stumble, you know, and that might be you today, and you need someone to come alongside you. They're not to be ignored. They're not to be excused. They're not to be destroyed. The goal is always restoration. The goal is always restoration. When we come along someone, the goal is always to help them. I don't know if you've ever been overtaken. This word overtaken, that's what I kind of want to highlight. I don't know if you've ever been overtaken by a storm. But I have in my life. There's been times where I've been caught in a storm. I've been caught in snowstorms or even tornadoes when I was younger, growing up in Iowa. Sometimes a storm can come out of nowhere, and I just kind of wanted to use that as an illustration that sometimes someone, you might stumble in an area, whether it be pornography or whatever kind of sin that's kind of causing you to stumble. It could come like you can see it maybe sometimes coming thinking, oh, I dread that. And then you can just be kind of overtaken by it. And men and women, let's face it, we can be overtaken by different things, temptations, things that may cause us to stumble. But the goal, like God, He's our example, is always restoration. I can remember taking a busload of folks from Salt Lake City to Missouri to a conference in the middle of the winter. So we all pitched in, and we rented this big bus, and we took it all the way to Missouri from Utah. And on the way down there, things went pretty well. But on the way back, there was this huge snowstorm, so we got stranded. And I remember that the guy driving the bus, he was stressing out because we were going so slow. There was a snowstorm. We finally had to throw in the towel. We had to get a hotel on New Year's Eve. But the storm just overtook us. We couldn't go further. There was problems with the buses. But what ended up is the saints together at that hotel, we ended up having an amazing time. Praying, and just God took care of us in that hotel as the saints who kind of came together. That night we actually baptized someone in the swimming pool there, and we prayed the new year in. So God ended up taking care of us. That was a sweet, sweet, sweet memory of my life that God took and restored what we thought, oh no, it's a storm and this is over, our party's over. But no, God helped us out. I can remember being in Poland, and we were invited to do a concert in a village in Poland. And our band and all of us, we were marching through this village, and it was just, the weather was just miserable. And we took buses, transportation to this particular place, and we were going to the concert, and we were all kind of like, oh man, nobody's going to come to this concert. It's raining and yucky. And then when we got there, the rain stopped, things cleared. We ended up having participating. Our band was actually the headliner in this small village, and we were able to minister to all these people in this village to support money for this young boy that had handicap. But God took care of us, and for a while there we were dreading it and thinking it was a failure. God took it and restored it. And I just want to use that as an example. We need to be men and women that gently help people, be willing to help restore those who have been overtaken by a storm or someone who might stumble. And it might be you. If it's you, you might be that person that needs to be open to someone helping you. Oftentimes we're like, I don't want you in my grill. I don't want you to know my yuck. Well, if you don't bring it out into the light, it's just going to remain yuck. We need to be willing to allow people to come alongside of us. First point, God's plan is always restoration. That's God's plan always. I use some verses from 1 Peter here because I think Peter really paints a clear picture of what we're all up against as believers. From these verses, from 1 Peter 5, actually 8 through 11, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. That's true today, folks. Seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So Peter paints this picture of the, you know what, the adversary, the enemy, is roaring around like a lion waiting for someone, waiting for an opportunity for you to stumble. As believers, this is true in our life. It's not, it might happen. It will. It is happening. There is a battle going on, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that people all over the world brothers and sisters are going through the same things we are. Sometimes I can feel so alone in my struggle, and that's just not true. Everyone's going up against that. We need to lock arms and help each other in it. You're not alone. God puts people in our lives to help us. Peter goes on to say, and after you have suffered for a little while, and this is what I love, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will, don't miss it, himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God himself will restore you. He will come alongside you, help you, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oftentimes, the way God does it is through other believers. God manifests himself through other people, so we become God's hands and feet as we come alongside other believers. We get the privilege of being a part of what God is doing. I like this quote from Martin Luther. It says, let the ministers of the gospel learn from Paul how to deal with those who have sinned. Brethren, he says, if any man be overtaken with a fault, do not aggravate his grief. Do not scold him. Do not condemn him, but lift him up gently, restore his faith. That's just a good example from Martin Luther. May we be men and women like that. That we help people rather than point fingers and say, that is so horrible. I mean, we do have a role of saying, you know, don't do that, it's not good for you. But we also come along to help. And that's what the Apostle Paul's pointing out to us here. And it reminds me of, really, the law of Christ, which is love God and love others. We find in John 13, verses 34 and 35, when Jesus says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's really God's expression through us, for us, and through us to other people. He wants us to be disciples that come alongside a brother or sister, even when, and this does happen, that brother or sister is covered with the feces of life. I mean, sometimes you just come along, oh my goodness, what have you got yourself into? And oftentimes we say, like, you know what, I don't want to be a part of that. But we do have a role of responsibility, and Paul paints it up clearly, I think, in Galatians. He's painting it for us that we have a role to help others. Like these beautiful little babies we had up here earlier. Their parents, there will be times when you'll have to change their diapers and it'd just be totally gross. It's like, you will not want to be involved in that. But as the parent, you will walk through that. You will clean them up. You will take care of it. You'll do whatever needs to be done to help them move on. It's just kind of what I think God's role for us as Christians, to help each other through life's different things. And here's how the Apostle Paul kind of paints that. In Galatians 6, verses 2 through 5, he says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. And really the law of Christ, I'll just stop for a minute, the law of Christ, really, lots of experts have drilled down on that, but really it's the greatest commandments. Love God and love others. So fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Each will have to bear his own load. It's just really not rocket science. Bear one another's burdens. It's really a simple command to obey. Look for a brother or sister with a burden and help them with it. It isn't complicated, and it doesn't take a huge program or infrastructure to do it. Just look for a burden and bear it. God calls us to do that. Start with those next to you. Start with your husband or your wife or your roommate or whoever's in your immediate proximity. Start there. Care for one another. Bear each other's burdens. And that's an important role and responsibility that God gives us. What often happens is our persistent pride, it's just kind of always an opponent to this. We have a tendency to think that we're better than that. We have a tendency to set ourselves apart from that person that's struggling. Rather than helping, we're like, oh no, that they're struggling. They should remain there because they brought it on themselves anyway. Rather than, how can I help? What can I say? What can I do to help in the situation? That's the attitude we need to have. And we continue on in verses 6 through 8. It says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. It's kind of like a God starts this spiritual perpetual motion. Even today, as I share the word, as I attempt to teach the word of God, and God's giving me that responsibility. And then he says, and share those things with the one who teaches. So my fondest hope would be for me today, even as I share God's word, you guys respond to God's word, and that blesses my life. That will help. It's kind of, God starts it. He gives someone the word, and then you share it with someone else. And then they grow. And it's just continual. Okay, God's got this thing going. He's got it started. I've been telling people about this church here in Provo. I've been saying, you know, God blessed us. It's like he shot a flaming arrow down into Utah County. And whether we have this warehouse or not, the fire burns. Because God's Spirit is moving, and he will continue to move, and his kingdom is advancing, and it will continue to advance because that's his plan, that's his intention. And we have a role. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. And we all have heard that or have read it somewhere. You reap what you sow. And, you know, we've experienced that personally. You have. I have. We've made our own beds, so to speak, at times and had to lie in them. There are different things, especially my co-pastor Bill Young likes to say, what you reap in your 20s, you will sow in your 40s. And boy, man, I walked through that, and now I'm reaping what? Oh, I mean, it just continues. But it is, and it's just a good truth to remember. I like this quote from Theodore Epp, I think, that kind of puts it in a nutshell. He says, the Lord made it very plain in the New Testament that believers cannot escape reaping the kind of harvest they sow. We cannot hide our sin. We will not get away with it. The secrets of the night are not hidden from God. And God sees everything. He knows everything. But even, you know, as we get older or we move maybe away from a situation that keeps us fired up, we can get further and further away, and we can begin to think it's okay to do what everybody else in the world does. It's okay for me to participate in these different type of sinful activities that are really, what they really do is they poison us. And then, yep, no matter what, we will reap what we sow. I like this proverb. It says, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness and honor. Again, we kind of reap what we sow. It's not rocket science. I like to garden, but when I'm planting seeds or stuff, if they're not good seeds, or if I don't put them in good soil, or if I don't take care of them, I don't get a crop. It doesn't grow. I've had seeds. I hate throwing them away, so I'll leave them on the shelf about 3 years later, I'll go, oh, I still have these seeds. I'll go ahead and plant them. And then nothing grows. And I wonder, well, I didn't use good seeds. I didn't prepare the soil properly. But for us, you know, what are we doing to prepare, you know, cultivate our own relationship with God? Do you read the Bible? Are you cultivating that? Is God leading? Are you stepping in the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Because when we walk in the Spirit, there's fruits of the Spirit. And that's what we all want. Love, joy, kindness, peace. That's what we want, fruits of the Spirit. We don't want the works of the flesh. But if we're not leaning into it, if we're not developing and cultivating our relationship with God, well, then we just automatically knee-jerk to works of the flesh. That's the way it goes. It's simple, but that's right where Satan likes to attack us. My second point would be just don't grow weary of doing good. You know, I was quite zealous when I first came to Christ at 37 years old, and I can remember when I first moved to Utah here, I was all fired up. I was working as an electrician, and I met a lot of people on the construction sites, and I brought home a homeless guy one day and introduced him to my kid and my family and said, you know, Clarence is going to live with us for a little while until he can get on his feet. You know, I was just zealous for the Lord. I'd been talking to Clarence about Jesus. I had been sharing my faith with him, and I was just zealous and excited to help him. And I wasn't really that cautious. Thankfully, it worked out great. And my kids, I can remember, we were at a holiday playing football with Clarence. God just used that time in my life. But it seems like further and further I get along, more and more times I've been burned or beat up or whatever, it seems like you kind of get callous. You kind of say, well, man, I remember this one time this person took advantage of me, so I'm never going to let somebody live in my house again. Oh, may we not be men and women like that. May God continue to keep us soft and willing to love others, to care about the next person. May we not get bitter, because things are hard. You've probably hurt somebody yourself along the way. We need to be willing to do good again, to step into it again. That's what Paul has to say about that. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. As we have opportunity. It just seems so simple. Why do we miss it? Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Paul takes the time to really highlight, especially to believers, especially to those from the household of faith. God, he takes the time to say, you know what? This is family. You especially pay attention. You go out of your way to help those from the household of faith. So that perpetual spiritual growing and full life will continue, that we step into that and we're a part of that and we become more because of it. Not because we get better, because God has more opportunity to do more through us, so we get to participate. We miss it so many times. I like this quote from Mother Teresa. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Moving on to verses 11 and 12. Paul says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Again, Paul brings to light this issue of circumcision, because there were people that wanted some legalism. In Paul's day, they were wanting people to get circumcised. They want them to step into this law, and Paul brings it out again. See what large letters I am writing to you with. And a lot of people have studied that out as well, and I think it is just what it says. You know, I used to have a friend that when he texted me, he always used capital letters. And I thought, man, are you yelling at me? He would just always text me with capital letters. But But I think what the Apostle Paul here is saying is with emphasis. I'm writing with large letters, with emphasis. I really care. This is an instruction, another instruction for you. And with emphasis, I want you to pay attention. I want you to get it. I want you to know that this is important. And he does. It is those who want to make a good showing. And oftentimes, that's what even good works can turn into, this kind of this showboat. Look what I did. I was down at the food shelter all day. And it would go around all night. I was helping this person. I did that. I did that. I did that. Me. We can trip into this good works ourselves as Christians easily. We go on doing good to others without the best. I think the best situation is when no one ever knows. No one knows what you did but you and the Lord. And I just got to think that really, really blesses God. In verses 13 and 14. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And I to the world. The world, in a sense here, that Paul means it here, he's not talking about the global earth here. And he's not even really talking about the mass of humanity. That's what we can think of when you think of the world. But really what Paul is highlighting here, because God himself loves the world. We know that from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave himself. God loves humanity. But what Paul is really highlighting here is the yuck, the sin. Instead, it's the community of sinful humanity that is united in rebellion against God. That's what Paul is talking about here. It's that sinful rebellion against God, the community that's involved in that. And Paul said, I've been crucified to that. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul is saying, I'm not going to be a part of the world. And you and I, we need to, that's the last point, is keep the world at bay ourselves. I think we need to be mindful of protecting ourselves. Apostle Paul says from Romans 12:2, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Do not be conformed. Do not be sucked in. Do not be, but be transformed by God. He has a better life for us. What kind of happens? Like this sweater. I'm going to a Christmas party tonight, so I'll probably wear this sweater all day. But I'm one of those guys that, you know, even before the day's done, I'm probably going to have a glob of something on here, whether it's a Christmas snack or if I have coffee afterwards. Whenever I wear a white shirt, I just think to myself, I wonder how long this is going to last. I'm just one of those guys that kind of spills things. But I don't know, that's sometimes I think that, you know, that same thing, that the world is, we're just so enveloped by sinful humanity that it's encroached into our everyday life, and we almost are accepting it. Just saying, this is a cesspool I live in. It's okay for me to smell and have stuff all over me, because that's, we can protect ourselves. We don't have to go there. Be in the world, but not of the world. And we need to just make good decisions. You know, if you struggle with pornography, then don't put yourself in places where you're watching videos that tantalize your mind. That's just common sense. Or there's so many other things. We'll protect ourselves. You know, if you don't want to swear like a longshoreman, well, then don't hang around people that do. You know, there's just lots of things. It just takes a practical, you know, wide immerse yourself in that. Stay away from it. Don't get it globbed onto you. I remember I was in Italy one time, and I had this authentic calzone that I had gotten from somebody. It was wintertime, and I had this new leather jacket that my sister had given me, and I was wearing it. And I wasn't that experienced at eating calzones. And I remember my friends there, and we were laughing, and somebody told me, "Oh, it's the most amazing calzones over there. You got to try one." So in my rookiness of calzoning, I took a big bite of it, and I didn't even realize that. I was just consuming it, you know. And then I was walking down the street, and I looked down, and it's like, it's just every, though it all squished out the other end, and it's just all over my new leather jacket. And I was just greasy, slimy, taking that stuff off of me. Man, I meet so many brothers and sisters that have the greasy, slimy world on them. And it breaks my heart. You know, we're just naively, we just walk right into things. And we think, I'll be okay. And we need to think through the things that we do. Here's what James has to say, and he doesn't pull any punches. I appreciate that. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Oh my goodness, I do not want to be an enemy of God. It will not bode well for us when we step into that realm. One of my favorite verses from Galatians is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. This is just one of those, like a protective coating. I have been crucified with Christ, and he's going to protect me, and he's going to fight for me. And as I follow him, as I am a Jesus follower, and I follow him, and I try to lean into and walk and step with the Spirit, there is protection. And there's the best life for me. It's best for me. And God helps me make godly decisions instead of fleshly decisions. Because I will reap what I sow. So if I'm not learning from the Lord, then I'm learning from the world. And I'm more likely to reap from the world than from the Spirit. And man, I want to be a man that reaps in the Spirit. Paul's overarching theme, again, is grace. He finishes up, just a few more verses here. Galatians 6, 15 and 16. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. That's what he's talking about. He's talking, you're believers, you are a new creation. And none of this law or rules or things, they're not what matters. What matters is you're a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Such good truth. Final two verses, chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Paul is a man who's walked the walk. He said, even the marks of Jesus are on me. Why? Well, he even physically was beat to snot. He had scars from his walk of faith. Yet, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Those are his parting words to us. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's probably hard right now. It's probably going to get harder. But the grace of God is with us. Because this letter is written to believers. He's saying, believers, you know Jesus. His grace be with you. His mercy be with you as you walk through this life of challenges, of ups and downs. God's so good to us. He takes such good care of us. What a beautiful parting, ending verse for Paul to give us as a gift. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. What an amazing letter to the churches in the region of Galatia that Paul put together. It is really life-changing. There's so many fathers of the faith that have gone before us that have really delved in and dug into this truth, and it's changed their lives. Martin Luther is one of them. Even part of the Reformation, God got a hold of his heart as he read verses like what we've just been looking at. And God impressed it upon him so much that he took action. He did what the Bible said, and God changed his life and changed, really, ultimately, it's used to influence our lives to this day. I'm so thankful for that. What a fantastic study this has been. And just a joy to kind of tie it up with a bow here. I like this quote from C.S. Lewis, and that's what I'm going to end with today. If I find myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And a lot of things we don't understand, do we? Right? God's got designs for us. He's got plans for us. Got plans for those babies that we dedicated today. He intentionally created them. He intentionally created you. He knows exactly your highs and lows. He knows your hurts, your weaknesses. He knows how you're wired. He knows what you need. Why would you go anywhere else to look for what you need? Run to him. Run to Jesus. Ask him to help you. Cry out to him. We need him day in, day out. Don't try to do it apart from Christ, because you will crash and burn. Apart from Christ, there is nothing. In Christ, there is everything. I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then Colin's going to come up and lead us with one more song. Lord, I love you. I just thank you for your truth. I thank you that you're such a good father. You just don't miss a thing in our life. You're just right there. On the spot, Johnny on the spot. God, you're always there to help us in our thoughts, actions, and words, Lord. I pray even now, just supernaturally, Lord. You know that as your kids, we just have a tendency to get distracted. Lord, hold us in your arms. Hold our little faces in your hands. Help us to put our eyes on you, Lord, to focus on the creator of the universe, the one who loves us more than we can even comprehend. I pray for that for each one of us today. I just pray that we would see you in a little bit more intimate way today. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.